And taking garbage out of rivers is what we're going to be talking about in this segment or two. We're going to meet a guy that I am really thrilled about. Chad Padracki really shows how one person can make a difference if they just get involved a little bit, and then also what can happen when you think you're just getting involved a little bit and things can grow. Because he started out kind of pulling garbage out of the Mississippi River on a stretch that he grew up on, and boy, now he's got a whole organization out there cleaning up rivers across America. Chad is going to be one of the featured speakers at the upcoming Sierra Summit. It is the first ever conference, environmental convention and expo gathering in San Francisco between September 8th and 11th. And Sierra Club members are invited. It's for non-members as well. You can just drop in and come one of the days, or you can sign up for the whole thing at their website, SierraSummit2005.org. So this show is dedicated to taking a preview of that exciting event. Exciting because, again, it's the first time that Sierra Club has organized a conference, and it was really seen as necessary given the way things are going right now, and a great way to engage more people, not just the choir. So, Chad Padracki, I think you're on the line now.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay, you pulled yourself out of the river to join us. Thank you. I have to tell you, the first 5 years that I did my environmental feature, it was called Trash Talk, and so I got a lot of trashy jokes, and you kind of put a whole new spin on that. Is a river rat?
Well, hey, I'm really happy to be on the show, and it's a big honor and to be part of the conference and part of your show, and just, it's been crazy 8 years, that's for sure, since I started.
And so. You are now the founder and president, I should say, of Living Lands and Waters. And I've been kind of joking around about it, but obviously pollution of our rivers is a big problem. How did you get involved?
Yes. I grew up on the Mississippi River. My house is, you know, just like 10 feet away from the river, and I spent a lot of time out there as a kid just fishing, hanging out. And when I was 15 years old, I started commercial shell diving with my brother, picking up mussel shells on the bottom, like diving in from 8 feet to 25 feet, pitch black. And then that night we'd camp out on the islands in about 150-mile stretch of the river, and that's where I started to notice all the thousands of tires and barrels and disregarded appliances and all the big items like sunken barges and all that stuff, and just thought I'd try to do something about it. But I was only 17 when I started. It took me a long time because I didn't know how to go about it. So,
what have you learned?
Well, I've learned a lot, that's for sure.
Besides, Americans are really bad litterers. I mean, dumping things in the river, is that still happening?
In some places, like, it's kind of like northern Kentucky and southern Indiana on the Ohio River, it's still happening all the time for sure. But like on the upper Mississippi River from St. Louis up, it's really got a lot better just in the short time that I've been working out there. And, even before that, it was starting to get better. At one time, everybody just dumped in the river. That was just what they did. But I think people are starting to really see the rivers as a treasure, you know. And I've really definitely noticed a difference, and a lot of people have as well.
You organized a lot of cleanups, but one of them that I was reading about was a 100-mile stretch of shoreline along the Mississippi River. You pulled some 45,000 pounds of debris out of the river,
yeah,
is that correct?
That was just the first year I started just alone with my little skiff out there, and that was the first year. But no, we've had cleanups to where in one day like 1,000 people will show up. Actually, the last cleanup we had in my hometown, there was about 1,000 people, and was 50 different sites, and it went really well. I love meeting people, and that's a really good way to meet people.
So are you local, regional, or national, your group?
Kind of mainly Midwest. I like to say Mid-Coast because there's East Coast, West Coast, and everybody just calls it Midwest, but I always say Mid-Coast.
I like that.
I represent Mid-Coast. But we primarily work on the Mississippi River and the upper Mississippi, I should say, and then the Ohio and the Missouri, the Illinois. Those are the four main rivers we work. So we work in a nice area primarily in the Midwest, and then we also do and we have done for the last couple of years, for two or a month a year, we work out in Washington D.C. So and that's been a whole different experience, that's for sure.
What'd you find in that river? The Potomac?
Well,
is that what you're talking about?
Even picking up garbage isn't as easy as just going and picking it up. There's a lot. It's real political out there. Even garbage in the river is political. I'll tell you the difference between the Midwest and in the Washington, D.C. area, primarily like the Potomac and Anacostia rivers, in some places there was like 2 feet of garbage. There was no shoreline. So in the Midwest, I just tell people, okay, everybody, you know, we'll just scatter out, break out, and go through the woods and pick up everything on the islands, whatever. And, you know, everybody kind of walks off and whatever, does their work. But there, I'd just be like, okay, hop out of the boat and just sit down in the garbage, folks, start sweeping it in bags.
You say it was political. What do you think they were afraid you might find in the Potomac?
I don't know.
Dumped documents?
I don't know. It's just, it was a really good experience. But I guess I'll tell them all about it at the summit. How's that?
That's great. But we hope you'll tell us a little bit more about your work because we're coming up to a spot break. But can you join us for a few more minutes after that?
Absolutely.
Okay. We like to tell our listeners what they can do to address environmental problems in their area. And since you're such an expert on dredging rivers, perhaps you can let people know how they can start their own chapters. Or maybe just get out there themselves and see what develops, as is what happened with you. We're speaking with Chad Pendracki. He is the founder and president of a great organization called Living Lands and Waters. You can go to his website at livinglandsandwaters.org, and we'll hear more about his effort to help clean up America's rivers right after these messages. You're listening to a special edition of Eco Talk on Air America Radio, a preview of the upcoming first-ever Sierra Club Summit Environmental Convention and Expo. Chad will be one of the featured speakers there. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this message. Conversation with Chad Pendracki, who was raised along the banks of the Mississippi River and saw them slowly turn into a nightmare, the shores of the river, that is, because of all the trash that was getting dumped in the river. Chad, thanks for hanging in there with us. What's the weirdest thing you've ever pulled out of the river?
Well, I have a lot of messages in bottles, anything from treasure maps to, love songs, like you name it, like all sorts of stuff like that. But
does your organization deliver the messages? Is that part of your mission?
I usually call the people back if they still have numbers that are good. But, yeah, I've talked to actually quite a few of them. I found a lot of bowling balls all over the Midwest. I'm not kidding. I think there's a lot of mad bowlers out there.
I thought I was a bad bowler, but that must have gone out the alley and all the way down the riverbanks. Plop.
Something. But probably like a stove in the middle of the river with an army parachute stuffed in it. That was pretty weird. But
I hope you haven't found any bodies.
Yeah, we found some of those, too. Yeah.
Okay, we won't go into that. This is
an environmental
program, not a crime show.
you know what? The finding all the different stuff really makes it interesting. Like, you never know what you're going to find, I guess. If there's a perk to the job, that might be one, because you find just kind of random, weird stuff, and it's kind of cool.
The novelty of it. Well, I like your mission. You say it is to create a desire and an opportunity for stewardship and responsibility for a cleaner river environment. Tell us about that. Tell us how you're trying to inspire people to get involved.
Well, I mean, really, the whole thing kind of, like, evolved. You know, I didn't have any grand plan, but now we have a lot of equipment and work boats and all that. And what our work boats do is get people out there. A lot of them have never been on the river before. You get them out there for the first time, and here they are doing something positive for it. Or these people have lived along the river for 20 years and have actually never got on the river, and now they're getting out there. Not only are they exposed to the river and on it, but now they're feeling like they're doing something positive for it, and they get to see their instant results. And really, that's where most of the assets of the organization are, is in the equipment, and that's kind of what it is. Getting people connected back to the river, I think, is really important, and making them feel like they have a stake in it, and having them experience the river. So I think that's exactly what our mission says, is exactly what we're doing.
That's key. And how can other folks around the rest of the country do the same kind of thing you're doing? How can they start a chapter to clean out the rivers in their community?
I mean, I think it's simple. You don't have to start an organization or anything. I mean, if you're already a Sierra Club member, you can just do it under them or what have you. But and if there is no organization around you, then it's pretty simple. You just get a bunch of people together, even a small group, because everything builds on momentum. Even if it's a small group of people going out there and doing something, it's a really positive thing. And you just, you got to identify the site first, and like I'm doing on this river right here, just looking at the site to see if there's a need for a cleanup. If there is, get a group of people together and just go do it.
Of course, there's
a
lot of
pretty much what it is.
There are shoreline pickups, and not just rivers, of course, but around any bodies of water. We have Coastal Cleanup Day here in California. On Earth Day, a lot of people get out and pick up garbage. But you're going deeper than that, literally, aren't you?
No,
dredging.
We do it every day, and like I said, I mean, it's kind of like an industrial strength river cleanup is really what it is. We use barges and cranes, and it's really grown in. We pick up a lot of bigger stuff, cars, trucks, vans, cut-up old barges, you name it. I mean, and there's 10 full-time people. 8 of us live on the barge, and it's full-time, like, you know, 10 months a year. It's freezing cold when we start, and it's super hot in the middle of summer, and it goes back to freezing cold when we end, and we only get 2 months off, but...
Is this taking place? And is this taking place in major rivers around the rest of the country where you're actually, people are bringing equipment in to kind of emulate what you've been doing successfully?
You know, there has been a couple organizations that I've had, you know, help get started and stuff. One is a big one on the Missouri River, and we kind of worked together the first year and had a bunch of real successful cleanups, and that was 4 years ago. Now there's an organization, and they do them all the time, and it's really going really good. So, and then we helped a group out in Washington, D.C., Earth Conservation Corps. We just sold them a boat for real cheap and got them a free engine, and they're doing the same as what we're doing, and kind of that's one of the things we want to leave behind is you know, show people how to do it, show them what the equipment, what kind of equipment it takes, and get them pumped up. And I think we're pretty good at it.
Yeah, you received a lot of big honors, like from the Jefferson Award for Public Service. And
yeah.
Are you surprised at all the attention you're getting? I think I saw an article on you in People Magazine or some mainstream, you know, publication. And how does it feel to get this kind of attention for something you believe so passionately in?
I mean, it's a big honor, but, yeah, I'm pretty surprised. There's a lot of attention at all time, but I guess if you think about it, really, it's not, you know, it's not about me or anything. It's just about that the rivers are really important to a lot of people, and you said you saw that in some mainstream magazine. That's because it's important to everybody, and I think as time goes on, the rivers are becoming more and more important, and plus my roots are at the Mississippi, so that's kind of like a legendary river, and so there's a lot that plays into it, but... You know, there has been a tremendous amount of, people that have been interested, the media and just random people. It's been amazing. It's been amazing, kind of like a big journey, a big adventure.
Okay.
And I'm just doing everything I can, working as hard as I can every day, and just to keep it going and keep it real, you know.
Okay. So you say in one of the articles it's very important to set goals. What is your future goal?
Well, obviously, cleaner rivers is a pretty easy goal. But, we also have been planting hardwood trees on the islands of the Mississippi. I like to expand on that. So I think that, you know, planting trees is definitely something that when I'm dead and gone, you know, those trees will still be producing food for wildlife and all that. And I'm getting into doing, I could sit here and spend hours on all the different stuff I'm doing.
Let's tell people just come hear you at the Sierra Club Summit in San Francisco, okay? We'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Truly, I appreciate the opportunity to talk on the show, and look forward to talking in San Francisco. Awesome. Never been there. So.
Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Leave your rubber boots at home. We've been speaking with Ched Pendracki. He is the founder and president of a group called Living Lands and Waters, and you can go to his website at livinglandsandwaters.org to find out more about his great work cleaning up.